Pope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you
it's
are.
Mike
Shope
and the Bulldog. No, on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I kind of wish I had one of those. I believe the official term is artificial noisemakers. Like one of those, like New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
It turns midnight.
Sure.
To the next year, you know, the ball drops, the whole thing. You know, one of those.
You know, like a paper.
Yeah, paper. You throw it out.
Yeah, right.
You never use it twice.
It rolls up and rolls. As you blow it, it rolls out and makes that sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I had one of those for today.
Yeah, or maybe an air horn.
Well, an air horn, I mean, that's just a lot.
It might be a lot for the room.
That's just a lot, but
probably hurt us in
something,
the room.
You know, maybe a party hat, one of those triangular hats with a little thing that comes down here, the string. Those of you watching on YouTube and Twitch can see it's sort of like this. I wanted to shave today, too, but my thing broke.
Mm-hmm. I don't need party hats or favors. All I need is that open with Mike Ditka and Will
that's
Ferrell
enough.
Yelling at each other. That feels like football season to me.
The weather makes it feel like football season. You know it is. I mean, the calendar, the updates, like they all tell you. You already know. Like, it's on. And we have a couple of interesting, I think, news items here to talk about. Gabe Davis, obviously, would be one. Or is that not obvious? Like, is he going to be relevant? Is he going to be in our chat? Gabe Davis this year.
I think it'll be a while. But it makes sense that there would be a situation where they might feel very comfortable putting him in the lineup. I'm thinking, you know, injury wise, like there's a, you know, something happens to Coleman or really Coleman or Palmer, I feel like are the two guys for this outside receiver types. So, and then I think really while he ramps up and gets healthy, it's, you know, Tyrell Shavers better be on point if he's even getting dressed for these games. Because I feel like Gabe Davis might be ready to settle into, you know, a role that we're pretty familiar with and maybe even sprinkle in some special team stuff. And he can become Mac Hollins' Mach 2. Like, Hollins replaced him, and maybe Davis can replace Hollins, ultimately, if he, you know, is willing to, and they trust him to do all that stuff that Hollins was doing.
One of those days last week when you were away was, I guess it was, Poyer. And the feeling that some fans really sort of, I think, carry around even, or just sort of gravitate to, that the Bills only want guys who've been here. And Davis just adds to that list. I mean, mm-hmm. Obviously, he is that. I don't mind. I'm not going to get... Yeah.
They're on a bit of a bender of that. I mean, it's Jordan Phillips that preceded Poyer, who preceded Davis. And now, so we've got, you know, a triumvirate of guys returning within the last week, since I've been away, anyway. I think Phillips happened after I left. You know, they're riding that. But, yeah, I mean, I hope Poyer never has to play. Of the three of them, he's the one I hope the least has to play. He's been the best player of the three, the best Bill of the three, easily. But I just think the deterioration in his game that was already evident before he left Buffalo, two seasons ago, we were already, I think, in trouble there, him playing. And so, you know, I hope he just can hold Cole Bishop's hand and he never has to leave the field, and like Poyer can help show him how to do all the things that need to be done correctly. So I think if he has to play, that's real trouble.
Also, Dwayne Carter. I mean, I went right to the Worthy trade. I don't know. Doesn't really matter anymore how you get these guys once they're yours. But torn Achilles, out for the year. Who? I mean, you can't blame anybody, I guess.
No, that was a guy that I think was in trouble to make the roster if Ogunjobi wasn't suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like I did not. I talked to Sal about it. I think with you in the room, I brought it up a few different times. There's a lot of numbers there, and how is that all going to work? And here's Dwayne Carter. I think where I saw it was on Hard Knocks. He's got the Bills painted, like the Rex Ryan painted pickup truck. And as soon as I saw it, I just thought, dude, okay. I hope that works out for you.
I mean, let's break down when you can paint your truck.
Right. After a rookie season just when you barely play. Like, maybe.
What if Carlton Bailey, the year after the play against Denver, shows up in a painted truck? Like, that's okay? I mean, he did one amazing thing. Right. He was kind of a backup. Like, all right, well, I feel like that's above the line.
Yeah.
You have to be somebody that everybody knows first. But anyway.
Yeah, so tough timing, but, you know, Carter, he's on IR, so, I mean, you know, the truck stays relevant. He didn't get cut.
The truck stays relevant.
I don't mean to be cute. I mean, the guy suffered a devastating injury. It's going to be hell to come back from, and, like, we'll see. Like, again, I don't think he was... I think as a third-round pick, it was optically going to be tough to move on from him, but I think the injury kind of saves him, keeping him on the roster for the whole year.
Yep.
Because he's on IR, and, like, that's it. And I think in 6 weeks, when Ogunjobi's eligible to be reinstated, there would have been a decision to have to be made there. And I think he would have been the guy. I think to me the two kids from this year's draft are already outplaying him. I think the depth chart even during the summer reflected that. So I think he was in trouble to make the team.
He is the player the Bills, if you will, won by the Worthy trade. From the Worthy trade.
Right, it's the extra pick they got.
He's the extra pick. And I mean, you don't have to do it like this. Looking back on draft pick trades and other moves based on future events. But Worthy and Coleman, let's get this in before the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
Worthy and Coleman, like, so here we go. I mean, no Rashi Rice for Kansas City, and Worthy is their number one skill position player. I mean, I guess you tell me if you think it's different because I'm in fantasy land, but like Worthy is a 3-4, we have a draft tonight, 3-4 turn kind of pick. Pacheco's later, Kelsey's later now, that's changed. And Coleman, you're one of them.
Yep.
I referenced this a couple times last week with other people, like Matt Waldman. Like Coleman has his fans, his believers is probably a better way to put it. And so, I don't know, are we going to be doing that forever? Maybe not. Hopefully not, because it's a little bit more than we need to walk around with, trying to compare those two guys like they have to be joined at the hip.
I think that it's still, in my opinion, it's not unreasonable to do that. I think we'll still be doing that. And I think the Dwayne Carter piece of that will hinge on how both guys do. But, you know, if Worthy becomes a star in year two, and so does Coleman, then we're probably not referencing Dwayne Carter and the third-round pick they got for making the trade. Because we got our guy, you got your guy, okay, great, push to some extent.
Advantage
right?
Push.
But if Worthy outshines Coleman and Coleman stumbles, it's, you know, the trade is going to be just like it was last year. I think we still haven't had a final, and this is not to be unexpected, we don't have a final ruling on like how that all worked out, but... You know, I think Worthy looks promising. So does Coleman, but Carter is now a non-entity.
Worthy didn't have a season until late, but he did get there late, including in the AFC Championship. And then in the Super Bowl, they were down big by then, but he made a couple of plays there. So I'm sure Chiefs fans are optimistic for him. Coleman was different, and you might have thought it was starting to happen before his injury, and then his injury scuttled any sort of momentum he had. But, you know, there's somebody else who you want that second-year breakout, and maybe you get it. What is, as we go here, week one, Tuesday, I'm saying that for my own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, September 2nd, Ross Tucker today, Tuesdays at 4 this year throughout the season. Sal will join us too. What is the number one concern about this season? What is, like, the thing, if there's a thing that keeps you from being just like, all right, well, I'm going out on the boat and it's perfect out and I'm just going to lie here for 3 hours and, you know, sip on...
What is the thing that's going to be gnawing at your brainstem?
Yeah, like, what is the thing that you might be distracted by? Do you have one?
I still think it's how efficient, how effective are they going to be at getting off the field on defense on third downs?
Okay.
And I think that's still... The secondary is squarely in you know, it's... The center of my unease about that, right? Corner two, I'm just sort of catching up here and realizing that Benford didn't do much of anything for the past week or so, but that's probably just a slow play and he'll be fine. But still, that's a little alarming on top of what's been going on at the other corner spot. But yeah, I mean, I think when you're reading about the potential for, say, like a sixth round pick to, now I know the Bills ended up doing this a few years ago and it worked out great with Benford, but they may be in a position where they've got to play a late round pick at that spot at least to start the year. We don't know. I didn't miss any developments on the Trey White front. Like when they did talk about it last week, it was we're waiting.
I think it goes until tomorrow.
Okay. That's sort of what it reads like to me. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything late last week or something while I was away. So
I might.
I think to start the year and even then long range, you know, if White is going to be back, maybe he's even back for this game. I don't know, right? But if he's not, then we're sort of scrambling to piece somebody in there. And again, maybe it's a late round rookie. You know, it's probably a little bit of all hands on deck. Maybe a few different guys will get turns there, especially if it's not going well. And that's the concern. And then there's the question about, is safety going to be better than just getting by? Which is how I would classify it last year. Like, I don't think they had a great season. It didn't sink them, far from it. But if you were looking to improve there, you just got to kind of, I don't know, put your hands over your eyes and peek out. And like, I don't know, is it working? Because we don't have any evidence of it yet, which is not surprising. It's the preseason. It's not, how much better would be feeling if Rapp and Bishop played 20 snaps together or something. Like, oh no, that looks like a team. They look great.
0%.
I don't think we'd have any idea if it's going to work or not. So that is still that. So the secondary, but it's really just what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get off the field on third down. I'm trying to stop people.
That's easily my pick.
Do I have enough there to do that effectively against a team that, frankly, like, did whatever they wanted on offense? They just turned the ball over 3 times, and that's how you beat them.
Ravens, yeah. Yeah, that's easily it. Old takes. I walk into this season thinking that the Bills are exploitable in the back. I do. I mean, Benford has a lot on his shoulders here. And the Bills are going to play. I mean, they don't have the hardest schedule, but they're going to play elite receivers here. I mean, they start, Baltimore's unique, you know, in the league, but they'll get to Tyreek Hill, they'll get to Garrett Wilson, even Olave. Like, it's not that scary. It's just they're going to be challenges. The Bills will be big. Well, I went out of order, but the next 3 games after this one, they'll be big favorites in all of them. They already are. And, you know, London and Atlanta eventually, even Diggs in between. Like, there are wide receiver ones on a lot of these teams coming up on the schedule. And Baltimore, what do you even want here with the Ravens?
Say Flowers, it's Bateman, just, I don't know.
It's not on the same tier, right? But because they don't need it to be.
Right, they've got the quarterback that's going to – someone's going to get open and, you know, he'll probably find him.
And it's Derrick Henry and it's 2 tight ends. Like, well, likely may miss, but still, like, they're unique. Still, like, Benford will have a pretty big job. He doesn't have to travel either with these guys, but I think that'll be sort of an obvious strategy point for the Bills' opponents as underdogs in the coming weeks is like, all right, well, can we exploit their secondary? And maybe Benford is so good that they sort of throw somebody to the wolves with him if they can. And then you have whatever the rest of the matchups are.
Right.
The Bills are really down bad at the other corner, right? I think, you know, maybe they're not as down bad, but if Trey White plays, what is that? I mean, that's a pretty big gamble at this point. No first-round pick Hairston for at least 4 weeks. What's Bishop? Taron Johnson has been so good, but he's also had a slew of concussions, you know, and like just I wonder, I'm not going to bet against him, but just like something to keep in mind is like they're really thin. even if he's out there, and am I playing three wide receivers against the Bills? I kind of would think that I need to, because I'm probably in a horse race on the scoreboard with them. Like, I need to score. These teams are not likely to be ahead. If they're ahead, then it's gravy, because they can just, you know, play two backs or two tight ends and right. kind of eliminate Johnson. But one aspect of how successful he's been and they've been with him is that the Bills are almost always winning. So now I need to have a slot corner on the field all the time, and that's paid off. So I think that is, it's not wide receiver for me. You could talk me into it, probably. Mm-hmm. We've had that conversation 10,000 times. But they showed last year that they can manage, to say the least, at receiver. But in the secondary, I don't know. I don't love what they have in Bishop yet. I don't even love what they have in Rapp yet. And the last time I brought Rapp up to Sal, like, how good is he? He's like, well, he's good enough.
Right.
He's good for them. And, like, that's not the same as being good. That's just like, well, he's at least somebody that they have some trust in. Those are my words, not his. I think really Benford, this is a far cry from what it was like earlier in this amazing run the Bills have had.
Sure, there's a peak there where White is still healthy before the first injury, and it's Benford and Hyde and Poyer and Taron Johnson. And I think you would say that might have been the strength of the defense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't say strength of the team because Josh Allen was on the team. But still, like, maybe it's the second most dependable, you know, unit on the team. You know, the line had still not really established itself as, like, what it's become now in the last two seasons. And so that has swung in the span of a couple of off seasons from a strength to, it's almost got to be classified as a weakness, I think. If it, you're asking me, the season is starting, what's your biggest concern? Back there. And if it were a strength, that would not be my answer. I'd be looking for a pass rush or something. And sure, that all plays a part in it too, and can cover up a lot of holes if Joey Bosa hits or something, and just can't be blocked. That would be fantastic, fantastic development. But they've gone from that being a strength to a question mark. Yep. And the injuries are a part of it, but it's also like Bishop is a second round pick. It's entirely reasonable for them to feel like they want that to work and are going to give that every chance to work. So he's your starter, and he's healthy, and, like, let's go play the feud. But beyond him, I mean, you're back to what you had last year, which, again, was just enough to get by. And your corner situation, the draft pick is not healthy to start the year. So you're kind of scrambling there, and you're very quickly to Dorian Strong and Jamarcus Ingram and, you know, guys that have filled roles here, at least in the case of Ingram. Strong's a rookie. You just don't really know what you should be expecting there, I think.
Bills' record in their last seven openers.
Huh. I was thinking about this the other I don't have it. I never followed through, but I thought, like, how good have they been in their openers? I mean, there's a Steeler loss on opening day in that, right? There was a blocked punt.
Yes.
And beyond that game, I'm having trouble really pinning down other openers. Is that the only loss?
4-3.
4-3. So now, not the only loss.
Rodgers injury night.
Right. That's pretty recent. Yeah.
2 years ago. Then 2 years before that, they lost. And then if you go back 7 years, it's Peterman and the Ravens.
Oh, okay.
So McDermott is 5-3. They beat the Jets the year before that. Tyrod Taylor. Just, it's a little bit surprising to me, too, because just instinctively, I feel like the Bills are always just sort of getting off to these great starts.
Yeah.
But they did lose the Jet Monday night game. They did lose the Pittsburgh game 2 years before that. What's on your mind here as the season starts? I'm not asking Bulldog this one because I know it's because the answer is this draft tonight.
Oh, that's sure. Yeah, that's
obviously
on, that's,
you're so distracted.
That's on my mind. Yeah, I can't. I can't
all the Easter egg references to it in the last 20 minutes.
I can't stop looking at rankings.
We still have this league.
It is impressive, isn't it? In an ever-changing world, we've still got yes. Paul as the commissioner of...
Where's the Yahtzee machine with the draft order? Did he already do that? I think he did, right?
He already did that.
He did something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He did something. I know we're picking fifth.
You and I?
Me and Owen.
You and Owen are teammates?
My team. Tunsil's gas mask.
Not teammates.
We'd never be teammates. Well, we were last year.
Did you watch a lot of college football?
I watched a good amount.
More than ever.
Of college football. We had some trouble. There was no actual TV service. I do have a kid that played junior hockey that, you know, didn't have subscriptions when he was on the road. And, you know, that world finds a way to find its way to sporting events. So we were able to, you know, it dropped out a few times. But, yeah, Saturday we watched a good bit of football all day. And then a little bit on Sunday, too. And I watched until about halftime the Belichick debut last night.
You know,
watching him lose is always pleasant for me.
I got sucked into that, and I agree with that. I mean, who doesn't? It's great to watch his teams, yep. him, squirm on the sideline. He's got a whole new, you know, well, not a new look, but a new logo, new colors.
Right.
Gray is not new. Light blue. And I thought, like, TCU, you never know. I mean, college football especially, because the range of quality within teams, among teams, is so vast. But here's North Carolina. That's a power conference. It's Bill Belichick. You'd think they'd have athletes. And TCU, okay, but not the SEC, not Alabama or anything, or Georgia. And they had the receiver number 7 and the quarterback. Like, it was just like, just whatever they wanted in that game. Like, wow, they cannot get a stop here. They get a stop on, I think, a fourth down, and then it's a pick six, you know, late in the first half, and it's a blowout. I missed the 7-0 drive, so I walked in. North Carolina was already winning.
It was a great start, right? Like, oh, look at this new era.
I'm already pimping our bet on Belichick's future. Like, oh well, his odds of winning an NFL playoff game, I think, just got shorter. Like,
North Carolina.
They took a success
7-0 lead, and then I think didn't score again until it was 41-7.
Yeah,
if I remember right. I think they got a field goal at the end or something, right?
Yeah,
so,
just
tough.
Complete blowout. But
yeah,
I didn't get to see Ohio State Texas. I was playing golf.
Your
thing with Joe, and Joe was giving me updates on the golf course, which were like non-updates because, like, oh, it's still 0-0.
There was nothing happening in that game, right?
No,
that seemed like the story of college football this weekend was that, like, offense just really exception, sure, but like the big matchups were tough. They were more defensive struggles than maybe you would have hoped for.
Unfortunately, against Baylor, Auburn did not struggle offensively. On the road either, so that didn't go that great for me. But still, fun weekend, college, get out of the way. Here comes the NFL, Thursday night opener, Friday night, Chiefs Chargers, and then, of course, Sunday. Ian Harditz ranked the 16 week one NFL games, and I got a problem with one of his choices.
Okay.
He's not here to defend himself. He doesn't need to be, but I'll tell you what that is. Bills-Ravens, number one. For him, like the game of the weekend, which I love. 803-0550 for your thoughts as week one arrives here. What's the thing that worries you, if there is one? How are you feeling as the season comes close? Ross Tucker today at 4. That'll be his regular time on Tuesdays, 4 Eastern, throughout the season. Sal Capaccio will join us at 5 today. We'll talk about Dwayne Carter, Gabe Davis, and more. Thanks for joining us. This is a fun day as we get to September and the NFL season. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
You know, this team is, you know, on a totally different side of the map as it was then. It's awesome to see, you know, even being in Miami last year, I'm paying attention to everything that's going on out here. You know, these are my guys, these are my friends, my teammates that I've been with for a long time. And you know, even some of the new guys, you can see why they bring guys like Keon Coleman in here. You know, they bring some of the young Jordan Hancocks in here and the Cole Bishops. And so, you know, I want to, again, just be here to be of service. And again, I'm here to play football too.
Jordan Poyer, one of the now several ex-Bills who are Bills again. Gabe Davis being the most recent that was reported today. Often amused by the wording in the tweets by the insiders who get told what's happening and then can just say it and have no competition because the team keeps it just for them, like Adam Schefter on Gabe Davis, which was Davis initially will be on Buffalo's practice squad as he continues to recover from last season's torn meniscus and gets ready to return to play. None of the usual kicker, like for me and Rappaport, a veteran signing for a Super Bowl contender.
A big move.
Just like some meaningless last line. But, you know, specific on the injury and implying, I think, by how it reads to me, that he's really not healthy yet. And,
right.
I mean, Davis has his critics, and I've said on this show a lot, like, just it's sort of strange to me how many Bills fans are among them. I mean, all they did was today sign a 26-year-old big receiver at a position everybody whines about constantly that's had one of the best playoff games in league history and is like, what, third or fourth all-time or something on playoff touchdown catches, whatever it is. Like, that's all, 26 years old. Not even 26 and a half. You're big on the halves. When it comes to ages, I've thought that.
Okay.
I've noticed that.
It's not something I've ever noticed about myself, but, you know, I'm lacking for objectivity.
Well, you're too close to the sun on this one, but not even 26 and a half. Right. Like, why not? So, why not indeed? Like, let's just see what it is. But something I was going to say something else, and I forgot. I got caught up in your obsession
the
with
the halves.
Half
you got caught up in the halves thing you made up. Yeah.
Yes.
That tripped you up.
Yeah.
The untruths you were saying.
It did.
Repeatedly. Yeah.
The Bills have only one opening week win in a row. So two years ago, they lost the Jets. They do have a streak of six in a row. 88-93. All four Super Bowl years and the 2 years prior, they won week one.
Thank you for that.
Ian Harditz ranked the 2025 week one matchups.
All right.
What, is there something just in?
No. Sorry. Sorry, everyone. Sorry to you. Sorry to everyone out there. No, I just realized I wasn't completely ready for today's show. It's week one. I don't have the full slate of games open on my browser.
Oh.
I need to get there. I need to. I mean, it's a mouse click away. There it is. But
you might need to get us the TV.
Usually, I already looked at that. You want to guess?
Yes. Are there two ones?
Yes.
Jets and Giants.
Yes.
And then four. What's the best game?
Four is pretty good. I think you're going to like four.
I guess I have to look to see who's at four. Then it'll be obvious.
Right. You want me to just tell you or you
no.
want to look? You're going to look. Okay.
Detroit, Green Bay.
Yep.
Obvious.
That's the Fox. It's CBS. Excuse me. I assume that'll be Nance and Romo in Green Bay for Detroit and the Packers. Yes, we get the Washington hosting the Giants at 1 o'clock on Fox, and on CBS we'll get Pittsburgh and the Jets.
How original.
Yeah. But I went looking because I've known, like, you know, Friday is a special night. It's a standalone streamer game where there's no, you know, it's not a local game, it's not a Bills game, so we don't get, you know, some alternative. I'm like, yeah, I think that is Friday one of those. I went to look at the Fubo guide to see what football games were coming up, and sure enough, Friday's not listed because it's a Peacock game.
No, it's YouTube.
Oh, it's YouTube. Sorry.
YouTube, but it's free.
Oh, well then, so I don't have to go out then. Okay, good. This is informative to hopefully our audience and not just old guys like me.
And my guy, Pete Overzet from the Ship Chasing family, is one of the 17 analysts.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's the fantasy analyst for this game.
Wow.
The Chiefs-Chargers game we're talking about, right?
Right. Friday night, right. Yeah, for some reason I thought, not for some reason. I made a mistake thinking that was Peacock, but that's YouTube. Okay.
YouTube, free.
All right. So I don't need a YouTube TV subscription. I can just watch it on YouTube.
Yep.
Okay.
As far as I know.
All right. Good to know. I don't have to go out Friday night.
Jets-Steelers.
Somebody want to, but I don't have to.
No, right. You could
still
decide.
Choose
you have
to
options.
Do that. Right.
Sounds
yes.
like
right.
Jets Steelers. Is that good?
No. No.
I mean, I'm curious. Aaron Rodgers' first game for Pittsburgh. Justin Fields. I'm curious. I think the odds that it's a fun watch are not great. But that's a game that we'll talk about next week, I bet. Like what happens in that game. If one team wins easily, that's a pretty big story. Like if, well, you know, maybe. Like maybe the Jets will just be that terrible and Pittsburgh wins 23-10.
But still, if the if Rodgers looks good, it works according to whatever script Steelers fans or even the Steelers organization have in their heads about how that's going to work for them with Rodgers as their quarterback, and it goes according to that script, that's a good start. It might be mitigated by the fact that you're doing it against the Jets, but we won't know that at the time for sure. But
the Bills play the Jets in week two.
Yeah, I don't mind that. That's not a sexy looking game. I haven't really looked at the other 1 o'clock games. Like, what am I missing out on? Bengals and Cleveland, Tampa and Atlanta, Miami and the Colts. I don't know. Nothing there is really grabbing me.
Yeah.
So the Jets are next week's opponent. I could get a look at them. And I have a curiosity. I'm not optimistic for Justin Fields. I'm not the fantasy player you are, so I'm just not invested in him. I think
until tonight.
I think the jury is in on him, and he's not good, is what I think, and we'll see if that changes. But Rodgers, that's another turn for him in a new place that, has a history of just finding ways to get into the playoffs. So, they're more of a curiosity to me than the
Jets. I'll give you two other games, actually three, that I'm not sure if they were all literally like alternative options for whoever decides at Channel 4. But I think probably I would put two of these games above Jets-Steelers. Although I'm curious about Jets-Steelers. Tampa-Atlanta. No.
I think both of those teams are better than both the Steelers and the Jets.
But would you rather watch that game?
No,
right?
And it's on Fox anyway, but
yeah, I know. Yeah,
right.
But didn't account for that.
Right.
Would you rather watch Carolina Jacksonville?
Why would you ask
Travis Hunter?
Why would
two interesting, kind of fun young teams. Yeah. Maybe the Jaguars aren't exactly young, but Hunter, NFL debut against McMillan, maybe? I like that a little bit. Like, if I'm out, I'll definitely have my eye on that.
Yeah.
I want to see what Tat McMillan can do, what how much he plays. Right? Isn't that one of the bigger questions about week one in the league is how much Travis Hunter do we really get? And, I have a great question for you about him, by the way. I've saved it for like a month, it feels like.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
Bengals-Browns. What's the better – which game would you rather watch week one, Steelers-Jets or Bengals-Browns?
Objectively, with no curiosity about the Bills' week two opponent, I think I would say Bengals-Cleveland. But the Steelers, or I already talked about, I'm at least – that's got my attention. I'm curious. And I want to see the Jets just because the Bills play them. But if that was removed, I think I would say Cleveland and Cincinnati. More obviously about Cincinnati than Cleveland. I don't think Cleveland's going to show me anything.
I mean, when was the last good Jets game? What decade was it? The last like fun Jets game? It had to be a couple, I guess, just sort of randomly. I mentioned before, Ian Harditz did this, ranked every game 1-16 from, as he put it, an entertainment perspective. 1, Bills-Ravens. Highest point total of the week in the NFL, by the way, is our game. 2, Thursday.
Sure. Dallas-Philly, yeah.
3.
Is it the Friday night game?
No, 4. Bears-Vikings, Monday night in Chicago. Why can't I ever, well, at least to this point, warm up to a Bears game in prime time?
Because like, you have eyes and you're 53
I have
years
eyes.
Old.
I have eyes and a memory.
You've been watching football for a long time, and the Bears are never good at this.
They're never fun.
It never happens.
Also a curiosity, so is McCarthy.
Yeah.
In Minnesota.
I like that game. I don't know if I like it more than
Green Bay-Detroit.
Yeah, Green Bay-Detroit is really the only other answer, I think. Or Kansas City Chargers.
Why did Ian put the home teams first? What is he... John Champion? Why is he putting soccer? Why is he putting the home teams first? Detroit at Green Bay. Micah Parsons. You missed that one last week.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Incredible, right?
Yes.
It's incredible.
It's incredible that it happened and that the ownership, which is also the GM in Dallas, is so petty and awful that he intentionally referred to Parsons by the wrong name over and over in the press conference. I mean, like I referenced, he was like the coach with Donahoe. Mm-hmm. In here, like, just no, I'm doing this on purpose. Like, I'm going to call him Michael Parsons over and over in this press conference because I'm so far above him that I don't even need to know his name. Just like, what a disaster.
Yeah.
I did a thing on Friday about how it's just the lowest level of existence as a sports fan when your team's management is so incompetent and spiteful.
They show you their underwear to that extent. You're just right. Like, I didn't need to see that. I didn't need to know that. I'd be better off not knowing or seeing any of this, but here I am. I can't unsee it and unknow it, and wow.
Like, every time you're a Cowboys fan, every time the Cowboys sort of speak up, Jerry Jones speaks up, you're like, wow, it's that bad? It's really that bad?
Yeah.
And
he let you Michael know that Parsons, it is really that bad.
He's excited to tell you how.
Yeah.
Little he thinks of his players. Just so bad.
Really pleased about that division winning parlay I've got with the Cowboys.
Have you haven't looked at the cash out since that trade? I did one.
An eight legger?
Yes.
All right.
Want to know who's on it?
Sure.
I have no idea. I'll have to go check.
Yeah.
I have to look that
up,
but I will. I forgot.
I'm pretty sure I have two of them, and I think Dallas is only in the one.
I know the season hasn't started yet. But I'm pretty sure I'm not dead yet. I'm not dead yet.
All right.
Which feels good. I could feel very differently in 1 week.
You'll actually get off to a start.
Yes. All my teams are playing this week. By the way, last on Ian's list, New Orleans, Arizona. Why is he putting the home team first? Who does that? Who started this? Arizona, New Orleans. That was his pick for the worst game of the week. Okay. Ross Tucker coming up at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR.